We're going to begin our service today by having a time of communion. And if you came into the sanctuary and weren't able to grab some of the elements, they're right there in the back. Feel free to get up right now and grab those, as we're going to just enter into a time of remembering. Remembering. If you are new here, something we like to say before we share the Lord's table and communion is that we believe that communion is open to anyone who has come to a place of putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But God makes it very clear that this is something that we do if you're in a very real relationship with Christ. And so if that's something that you're uncertain about, just feel free to enjoy this moment, consider what we're doing, but please don't partake, as this is something that God wants us as believers in him to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus makes it really clear that he wants his followers to participate in this thing that we have come to know as the Lord's table. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Are any of you like the pastor and have trouble remembering sometimes? 8.5 inches, Charlie. sometimes the details slip. It's funny, I think of the fact that in our remembering things, how many of you know that not all remembrances are created equal? Some things you fail to remember it, and it's just a blip. Some things you fail to remember them, and it is a big deal. Imagine you were driving, and all of a sudden, for no reason at all, you could not remember where the brake pedal was. And you just, it could be catastrophic. You know, something as basic as that. But as I was thinking about getting to share today this communion with you, I thought about the fact that when Jesus Christ tells us to remember corporately together as a body of believers, he's saying there is one thing that is at the center of everything else in your life. It is one thing that is the pillar upon which all of your hope, all of your identity, all of your eternity rests. And it rests on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Are there any sinners here today? Have you been forgiven? That reality of what Christ did on the cross is supposed to frame everything. I won't ask you to answer out loud, but how many of us haven't thought much about the cross this week? In fact, if you were honest, could say it didn't even register, maybe even once. And the problem with that is when we study Scripture, we come to understand that it is the cross of Jesus Christ that frames everything. His sacrificial death on the cross. The cross is the reason you're forgiven. Amen? You don't say amen every time, but it's the means by which you have been made alive spiritually. What Christ paid for has allowed that to happen. You belong to the body of Christ today because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's everything. It is the definition of love. It is the hope of heaven. It's your identity. You've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but now Christ who lives in you. This is everything. And if we do not both come together and put this in front of us, or we let our life drift away from it, then we're going to be tempted to measure anything and everything by the wrong reality. Paul, when he was talking about the message of believers and what we were called to do, he says, we preach Christ and we preach him crucified, that someone shed their blood and rose again that we might live. Amen, church? So the question I have for us is pretty simple. Have you remembered the cross lately? Have I? And if not, here is our opportunity to do it. And so what I want to do is I want to take a moment, and I just want to trust the Holy Spirit with you individually. We often come to these moments of reflection, and it's scriptural, you know, that we would stop and we would consider and we would measure our life. But really what it is saying is, would you just take the next few moments and would you let the cross of Jesus Christ enter your thinking and let it lead where it needs to? See, you can't come to the cross and stay unchanged. You may pause in this moment, and the first thing that might come to mind is that, boy, there's been drift in your life, or some sin has happened, and this is your opportunity to get right with God. And guess what? You can, and you can be cleansed because of the cross of Christ. Amen? Maybe that's where you need to go. Maybe God is taking you through a time of sacrifice, and the weight feels so heavy. Maybe you just need to think about the one who bore that weight and will bear you up. And maybe it's going to be to gratitude and joy over the fact that you sit here today, despite all the odds, cleansed and forgiven by God. Amen? Church, that's us. So take a moment and let us remember the cross of Christ. And then I'll pray. Father God, we worship and thank you today for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he went and gave his life on the cross, and in shedding his blood satisfied the penalty, the payment, the wrath he paid for sin. And God, by faith, he has paid for our sin. And we sit here today, if we know him, clean. And we worship you, because there's no greater news. God, I pray that you would find us often thinking about the cross of Christ this week. This incredible moment that defines everything about us. Lord, I know your word says, do this in remembrance of me, that Jesus Christ is the gift and the Savior and the hope of our lives, but it's the cross that tells us everything about him. It's that moment that defines everything of the wonder that it'll take an eternity to figure out. So God, I pray for our church. I pray that we would come humbly to this place. We would come joyfully to this place, and we would come confidently that our sin has been dealt with, it has been paid in full, and our Savior lives forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul records these words and says, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's partake of the elements together. When I was a little boy, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and one day my brother and I, we lived in a parsonage next to the church, and we snuck into the church, and we found the communion supplies, and my mother found us eating all the bread and drinking all the juice, and chose that moment to teach us a lesson about salvation. And we walked through the entirety of why we needed Jesus, because we had stole the communion cups and stuff. So, anybody thankful for Christ today? Amen. I have a great privilege today, and it is to introduce my friends to you. These are friends of mine, but they're also dear partners in ministry and the gospel, Scott and Andrea Chatterson. And I met Scott in 1992 as freshman at Moody Bible Institute, and he became my friend, and he has been my friend for a long time, and we've been getting to know Andrea over those years. But he is a missionary with TEAM, and you probably saw his information out there. But they have been in Ireland serving, and I'll let him explain how long and all those things. But he is a man who loves the gospel of Jesus Christ. So would you welcome Scott and Andrea as they come to share.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
I was curious what you were going to say. I mean, you were doing so well with the baby information. But, you know. 7 years, John, 7 years. That's a long way. Good morning, church. It's so great. Andrea and I are thrilled to be here with you today to share God's love for the Irish people and the voices, and be voices that bring an awareness to the spiritual needs of Ireland. We are extremely thankful for this opportunity for us to get to know you better and for you to find ways that you can stay connected and partner with us in God's ministry in the Republic of Ireland. Andrea and I have been married for almost 30 years, and that's how long it's almost been since Johnny and I have seen each other. 30 years, he was in my wedding, and apparently I made such an impact, he didn't see me for 30 years. So we've been trying, apparently this is the year. And our home base before going to Ireland was in north of Belleville, Ontario, Canada. So yes, we are Canadian, and we are bilingual, we speak American. We have been blessed with three beautiful children who are now all young adults. We praise God that they each love Jesus and are actively involved in serving the Lord. You know, it's amazing to see who God continues to bring into their lives, to love and to support them in life and their journey of faith in Him. And our family is growing through marriage and through welcoming beautiful grandchildren as well. Praise God.
That's right. And we do have one American in the sense of our son was born in Virginia. And so he actually lives in Pittsburgh right now with his wife. You know, we really want to celebrate with you and give testimony to God's sovereign hand upon our lives as we have seen God's purposes advance and work in and through it all. Mm-hmm. His faithfulness and his goodness is beyond measure. Mm-hmm. Although there are too many things to highlight for this morning's share about mm-hmm. our 7 years in Ireland, we really hope today to welcome you into the work that God is doing on the west coast of Ireland and invite you into his ministry there.
You know, Ireland is a land of green rolling hills, ancient architecture, lively music and friendly faces, and people flock to the Emerald Isle every year to take in centuries of culture and tradition. However, there's a darkness closing in that is robbing Ireland of all its beauty. Spiritual apathy, disillusionment with organized religion, high suicide rates, and with rampant depression affecting everyone to some degree, directly or indirectly. And empty religious churches is the clear and present condition of this country. Among this enclosing darkness is a small flicker of evangelical Christians, and they make up less than 1.5% of the entire population. It's hard to fathom that the Republic of Ireland is now considered an unreached people group. Shocking. This percentage is the lowest in the English-speaking world. Ireland is in desperate need of Jesus.
So 60% of the evangelical churches in the Republic of Ireland are no more than 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Many do not have their own buildings, nor can they afford to pay their pastors, and they really lack Irish national leadership. Many came to know Christ in the 1980s when a revival happened within mm-hmm. Ireland. You know, they would run from meeting to meeting in the homes to see what God was going to do next, as miraculous things were happening in and amongst them all. Evangelical churches were eventually established, but many of these first-generation believers have stayed in that babe-like state with a lack of intentional discipleship mixed with a cultural distrust and really a tribalism mindset. Mm-hmm.
They do see a need for ministry, but many lack the confidence to know how, nor do they want help to learn and grow in these areas. Mm. This produces huge needs and barriers to ministry all at the same time. Mm-hmm. This is why Ireland is considered a missionary graveyard. Perseverance, patience, gentleness, and a desire to die to self and follow Christ in all your ways is absolutely needed to minister to this culture.
Ireland needs workers to go with a heart and a passion for the gospel and discipleship and be beacons of hope, to shine God's light even in this evil encroaching darkness. God has called Scott and I to partner with local churches in Ireland to fight the spiritual battle with the Holy Spirit's guidance and God's authority over our lives. We are so, so thankful to the Lord for who he has brought on our team thus far to journey and to partner with us, first and foremost, in prayer. Mm-hmm. That's like the very first thing everybody needs. It's like the fuel to the fire. Mm. And then financial support. You here at Elgin Church, we're just so thank you. Thank you for letting us just come and just share mm-hmm. about our ministry. And you know what? Just even by doing that, it feels like you're part of our team already in mm-hmm. some way. So yeah. Praise God.
Over the last 7 years, we've worked alongside a small group of Irish believers who were predominantly first generation that came out of a very traditional Catholic background in the Limerick area. What made this ministry unique was that it was 100% Irish. Mm-hmm. And it was a multifaceted ministry within the Limerick Christian Center, which is located on the south side of Limerick City. This ministry had a church, a Christian school, Christian bookshop, 38-bed accommodation used for Christian conferences, events, and short-term mission trips, and an art gallery by a local, internationally recognized Christian artist. Right. This center is owned and managed by this small group of believers. They overcame unbelievable obstacles in fixing up this old crumbling building to see it keep going year in and year out with these different ministries.
So over the last 7 years, we are a part of everything at the Limerick Christian Center, all these different ministries in some form or another. And we praise God for the many different ways he allowed us to do his great commission work there and the many people mm-hmm. we had an opportunity to share Christ with from young to old.
You know, looking back, it's been a very, very busy 7 years mm-hmm. with many ups and downs, many obstacles to overcome and things that we needed to learn, but also victories, praise God. Mm-hmm. All the while knowing God's good purposes work in and through our circumstances. We continue to desire to live under the authority of God and his word. As we do this, he continues to invite us into the work that he is doing mm-hmm. by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and discipling believers, training and equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry and helping build a maturing church that desires to reach others for Christ.
So what's next, you're thinking? With all this in mind, we're really excited to share with you about our new ministry with Limerick Baptist Church. This church is located on the northwest side of the city. They've been well established in the community. Now, the average is usually 20 years, but this has been 136 years this church has been established, with many ups and downs along the way, but they're currently a very healthy and a vibrant community of believers. Their vision is to create a community of authentic believers that will witness Limerick City be transformed by the life-changing reality of the gospel. In the last 5 years, they have felt God wanting them to not only grow their church, but also that they would establish other churches in the area. So on the northwest side of Limerick, they wanted to put a church plant there, the opposite side of the city from them. But also, they're looking to do other churches in the surrounding area as the Lord opens that up. And the beginning of October, the Lord just did just that. They officially commissioned their very first church plant, Crossway Church, located in the Castle Troy, northeast side of Limerick. Now, what's shocking, and I'm just going to let this settle in, 80,000 people are in that area. This is the very first evangelical church there. Praise God. I think God needs a clap, don't you? Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah.
You know, there are seasons of change in all our lives, and we never know when they may come. But God in his sovereignty opened a door for us late last summer to walk alongside and partner with LBC and Crossway to do God's great commission work in Limerick. Over the last several months before we came on home assignment, I had an opportunity to spend time meeting with the deacons, elders, and both pastors of these churches. And for Andrea and I, they've become our new church family. In Limerick, we absolutely love LBC and Crossway, and it's been wonderful serving the Lord together, and we look forward to serving with them upon our return.
So as we've done so, Scott and I really resonated with Pastor Sam's heart and vision for the Castle Troy area. They've chatted and have just a mutual heart for evangelism and discipleship. And Sam, Pastor Sam, has gone to the elders and asked whether we would specifically work with Crossway, the new church plant, when we return in February. So it's only in 2 weeks we return. Some of these are local market stall outreaches, door-to-door, local school outreaches with our puppet ministry that we have, community projects, child evangelism fellowship, Bible clubs, preaching, Rhoda, of course, for Scott, and then Sunday school administration, and the list goes on and on. So we're, as you can tell, we're really excited to return, really excited. And I think that you get the picture. It's a very exciting time for us in this new chapter of ministry in Ireland, and we're thrilled to return in February and put our shoulders to the plow for the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm.
You know, we praise and thank God for those who've been supporting us in Ireland through prayer and financial giving. We could not have made it thus far without each and every one of them. And we specifically want to thank you for desiring to hear more about our ministry in Limerick and for your prayer support. Each faithful partner God has invited into this ministry brings peace of mind to us, but also the people that we're serving with in Ireland, knowing we can continue to stay and serve through the Lord's strength and confidence. With much prayer about our future, we feel that God has made it abundantly clear to us in every way that the Irish are our people. And in fact, back in February, almost a year, it'll be coming up on a year anniversary, we received Irish citizenship.
It was Valentine's Day. What a great gift for Valentine's Day from God.
So we call ourselves plastic patties. So anyways, God did that, and we really look forward to this new chapter of ministry in Limerick as we head back after our home assignment in February.
And that was the only way for us to stay.
Yeah.
So we praise God for that. God is always on the move. Here in Elgin, he's on the move, isn't he? In your state of Illinois, he's always on the move, isn't he? And he is on the move all over the world. He continues to invite all of us into the work that he is doing, that he will transform and save lives. As missionaries to Ireland, we too have been invited into what the Lord is doing and are prayerfully praying for new strategic partners and supporters, whether it be churches or individuals or families who will come alongside this ministry and support us on the field. At this time for our 2026 budget, we do have monies that we need to raise for that before we return back to Ireland in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
You know, our hope and prayer is that you've captured God's heart and vision for Ireland. We trust as we faithfully share that the Lord will stir and move in the heart of his people to join him in this ministry to the Irish people. We'd love to stay connected with you. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you saw our booth at the back. As you came into the church, there's prayer cards that you can pick up that has information, and also just a nice little 8.5 by 11 just some of the facts that we shared this morning. You're very, very welcome. We don't want to take these back with us. Please take them. We would gladly put them into your hands. And we also have a sign-up sheet if you would like to receive our newsletters, get updates monthly or every 6 weeks about what's going on in Ireland. You're very, very welcome.
Anyway, so you can pray for us.
Yeah, you know, we'd love to have the crack with you. We're going to stay for the chili. Woohoo! And so we're looking. You can always just ask us anything. You're very, very welcome. Don't be shy. Come on up. And hopefully my English is okay for you to understand. And we want to thank you for letting us share this morning and being so intentional to make us feel very welcome. And you have done that. And as they say in Ireland, Gada Mada Agat, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Thank you. Well, you can't get rid of me.
Oh, we can.
You know, Pastor John warned me about you. He said, there's a front row guy that I need to be aware of. So anyways, praise the Lord. Well, church, this morning I'm so privileged to have the opportunity to share God's word with you, and I don't take this lightly in thanking Pastor John for this wonderful privilege. It's been 30 years since we've hung out. This is a risk to ask a friend to come and share from his pulpit. But, you know, I have to say, as a former pastor, because I was pastoring in Ontario and in Canada before we went on the mission field, and certainly the pulpit is a very important area. And for a shepherd to say, hey, you're very welcome to share God's word, I'm very honored and humbled this morning to be able to do that with you. And we're just going to trust God for what he wants to share with me and share with you this morning. My topic of my message this morning is, do you know? And today we're going to figure that out. Well, love you too. Pinky's up, by the way. Well done, John. Awesome. You know, you could use a little ledger here. Just a little suggestion. I won't kick it. So anyways, praise the Lord. So turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And this morning, we're going to spend a few minutes in this book. We're going to keep it real simple. I can smell the chili. And we're going to keep it real simple this morning, but we're just going to trust God for what he wants to share. I'm going to read the text, just so that we can all become familiar with it. And then we're going to put in a word of prayer. And then we're going to get into this morning's message. I have to read the text first. I got ahead of myself. All right, so 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word will not return back void. We thank you, Lord, that we can open it freely in this country today. There are countries in the world, Lord, where they would have to do this in secret. But Lord, here we are in Elgin, Illinois, Father, where we can clearly proclaim the good news Christ. No matter how liberal this state may become, the word of God is more powerful than that. And so, Father, we just proclaim it clearly this morning. We give you the praise for what you're teaching us this morning, myself included, and thanking you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to share with these beautiful people. And all God's people said, amen. So we learned today that Ireland has less than 2% of an evangelical Christians, which makes it, or classifies it, I should say, as an unreached people group. Anything less than 2% of an evangelical Christian is considered an unreached people group. You know, our mission is to not only share the gospel to the Irish, but to live it before them. Not just say that we are Christians, but that we show them that we are Christians. Ireland is a highly relational country. If you're not willing and prepared to drink gallons and gallons of tea, some of you were thinking whiskey. There's counseling for that. So anyways, but tea, gallons and gallons of tea, and sit and listen to stories and ask about family. If you're not interested in that, then Ireland is not a country for you. An Irish pastor that I heard of there that said, if you're not willing to invest a minimum of 10 years, then don't even bother coming to Ireland. Don't even bother. It is a long-term ministry. That's a lot to take in. So how do Andre and I measure up to all of this? Well, we love to host. We love to drink tea. Well, I'm more of a coffee man, but they're pretty good about that. And we are extremely relational. We always ask about family. And now that we have citizenship, we feel like we can really just get in deeper with the Irish themselves. You know, I mentioned a little earlier about living the gospel before the Irish, about being to live it before them, not just say that we're Christians, but to live it before them. You know, an often misnomer is that Ireland is, in fact, a Christian nation. Who here this morning thought, you know what, if I thought of Ireland, I would have thought of it as a Christian nation? I did, surely. I mean, they're Catholic, they should be okay. But the statistics bring a sobering reminder that just because they say they're one thing doesn't mean that they are. And that they're missing the key component, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If Ireland is truly unreached, then it means that most of the people that we or you, if you were visited, and we had the beautiful privilege of spending time with Mike and Mel in Ireland, was in Dublin. It's okay. The West Coast is better. But we had a lovely time with them there. But if you're actually there and you're mingling amongst those people, they're all lost spiritually. Every person you're bumping into is likely lost. Because there's 98.5% of the population that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. So due to the strong Catholic heritage, the Irish have an awareness of Jesus and many other religious vestiges, but they lack that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what sets apart a person then from knowing about Jesus to truly knowing Jesus personally? And that's what we're going to look at really briefly this morning in 1 John 2, 3 through 6. What I love about this portion of Scripture is its simplicity. I love it. I love simple things. I'm not a real fan of complex things. And I just love when I read this chat, when I read this portion of Scripture, it just so clearly tells me. When you read 1 John, one of the things that you're going to notice as you read through the book, there's a word that keeps popping up constantly, and that word is know. Not N-O, but K-N-O-W. Know. I started to highlight it in my Bible, and I was just shocked at every many times. It says, you know, but we know, but you now know. This is how you know. This is how we know. This is then how we know. And it's like John really wants us to what? To know something. And so this is something that I truly believe that as he wants us to know, we call this a technical malfunction. We're just going to put that over here. So what he wants us to do is not just a head knowledge. John doesn't want us just to stay up here, all right? But John wants us to not only know up here, but he wants us to know what? In here. Not only head knowledge, but heart knowledge. And that the fact of the matter is to know, to have a relationship with Christ is not about how I live just for myself, but how I truly live day to day with the knowledge that I have with Him. You know, Andrea and I, we need to live this way every day while we're there. It's something that we have to do. We have to not only say that we know Christ, but to live Christ before our Irish friends. Because if we don't do that, then we will have failed as missionaries. And that really comes back to us as well here. How about you? You who live in the U.S., are you not just as responsible for how you know, how you live out your faith? So let's unpack this portion of Scripture this morning. And the first thing we want to take a look at when we're looking at this this chapter, part of these verses, is that it comes out with, he starts off, he says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. And the word know here in the Greek is gnosko. And it means to know absolutely. It's not enough to say that we've all been there before, right? Hey, do you know about this? Yeah, I know. Right? When your wife asks you, do you know how to fix it? Yeah, I know. And you know that you don't really know? but you got to save face. But this is more than just knowing partially. This is knowing absolutely. So as we look at this word know in these verses, it's not enough just to say that I know superficially, but it's to know, what was that word again? So this part over here is really sharp. This side and this side, not so much. All right. So when we say the word know, it means to know absolutely, especially through personal experiences or firsthand acquaintance. So it's something very personal, something that's very absolute. So when we see this first word, it says, we know, pardon me, we know absolutely. This my brother right here, I tell you what, he's on point. He gets first in line for chili this morning. I'm watching to make sure they give that to you. All right, so we know absolutely that we have come to know. See, this side over here still needs work. I'm going to give you a try. That we know absolutely him, that being Jesus, if. Now, that word if is a very important one. It's a word that we use quite often. The word if means that there's something conditional, right? If you do this, then you get this. It's like, if you clean your room, then you are allowed to stay here. That's for the kids, by the way. Hopefully not husbands or wives, okay? But we know that word if is very, very important. So if you do this, then this. It says, if we know absolutely that we have come to know him absolutely, that is Jesus, if we obey his commands. So there's a condition here. There has to be something that is seen in your life and in my life. There has to be some sort of a change. And this word, she says, to obey is tereo. In the King James, it says we keep. And it means to guard spiritually, to watch, to keep intact. So it means it's not just blind obedience. It's something that you're guarding, that you're holding on to, that is something that is very precious. Because if rarely do we guard unprecious things, right? But if it's something very, very important to us, whether it be our children, our spouse, our time, our money, there's things that we guard naturally. But in this verse, it's talking about obedience to something. But it's obedience is we're guarding. We're guarding. So if we, and we is all of us, if we obey, if we guard spiritually his commands. And his commands are entole. Entole, which is an injunction, and it's an authoritative prescription. It's God's authoritative prescription. Now, you and I are all probably, many of us are on, we all have prescriptions, don't we? We could all make a list of all the prescriptions that we're on, right? We all, it's a thing that happens in life. And we know that we receive prescriptions because they're supposed to help us in our health and so on and so forth. But in this context, if you look at it, if we obey, if we guard spiritually his commands, these things that God has given us as authoritative prescriptions for life. And that's the word of God for you and me. It's his authoritative prescription for life. John warned me about this microphone. I'm just going to move it. So that's the important part, church. So if we know absolutely, and John's making it very clear, that you will know something absolutely, and that we have come to know somebody absolutely, if there's a condition that we obey or we guard spiritually his commands, his authoritative prescription. Rich, isn't it, church? The word of God is so rich. That's just one verse. And you could probably even go a little bit deeper if you wanted to, but the picture that we have here this morning for you and for me is that we have a responsibility that if we call ourselves believers, then we have a responsibility as believers to not just say we know, but that we know. Yeah, we're all on point. You guys are on point. That we know absolutely. So then when we look at his commands, and sometimes we ask, well, what are his commands? You know what? There's a lot of, we know that his commands are in the Word of God. And a few verses that really just talk about his commands, that just refresh us, In John 13:34, it says, "A new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you." Matthew 28:20, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you with you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age." These are things that God has given us, His Word, His authoritative prescription to help us in life. John 14:15-21, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will show myself to them." John 15:10-14, "Obey and remain in love. You, my friends, if you obey my commands." Even further into 1 John in chapter 5, he says, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving and carrying out," what? "His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world." And I love that. Church, those are His commands. They're not there to make your life miserable. They're to what? They're to free you. If we think that a prescription that we have is to help us to stay healthy, how much more the Word of God? It's His prescription. It's His commands. They're not burdensome. The reason why we find them burdensome at times is because there's sin in our life that we got to get out. When we're overwhelmed with the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that is convicting us of things in our life that we got to get right. Or we have to wrestle with certain truths to know that we know them absolutely. And that's the wonderful thing. God gives us what we need so that we can live the most productive, the most effective Christian life for Him, so that we can be the brightest lights for Him, regardless of where He has us in His kingdom. You are here in His kingdom. We are in Ireland, in that part of His kingdom. It's all God's kingdom. And we all have that same responsibility to live and serve God as He calls us to. But you have to know Him. And that's what John is reminding us here in the text this morning. And he goes on further in verse 4. It says, "The man or the woman who says, 'I know,'" which is to absolutely know Him. And here it is, "but," there's a shift, there's something change. "But does not do what he commands is a liar." Now, I don't know about you. Nobody likes to be called a liar. Does anyone here love to be called a liar? No. I remember one of the churches I was sharing at, and I said to a guy there, and I says, "I'm going to do an example." I pointed at him and said, "You're a liar." I didn't know he had a brother that was three times the size of him. Because after the service, he says, "You called my brother a liar." I'm like, "But it was just in the context of the message." But then he smiled. And I lived to see another day. But the idea here that he's to be called is a liar. So if you say you know him absolutely, but you're not doing what the authoritative prescription, the commands of the Word of God, then you're a liar. And liar here is psychtuies, is a person who falsifies, misrepresents, distorts, misleads. That is not the plaque that you want over your door of life. That you're a person who falsifies, misrepresents, distorts, and misleads. But that's exactly who we are if we say we know Him, but we don't do what He commands. Which means you cannot live a dual life as a Christian. You have a choice to make. Just like when Jesus died on the cross for our sin, by putting your faith and trust in Him, He saves you from your sin and guarantees you everlasting life, which we are all pretty happy about, right? Amen to that. I like that. But then to receive that free gift of salvation, understanding the sacrifice, but then to live a dual life, which says, "I am glad I'm a Christian, but I don't want to live as a Christian." That's a problem. That's a problem for you and for me. Because the moment we do that, we are persons who falsify, misrepresent, distort, and mislead. And my friends, God forbid that for each and every one of us. God forbid. The world does not need more confusion. Amen? I think there's enough going on in the world today, we don't even know who's real anymore. Now we watch videos, we see things, it could be AI, right? Was it really Pastor John up here? Somebody go pinch him. Don't really. There's always that eager person. But the fact of the matter is we struggle to know now whether what we're reading, what we're watching is real. But I promise you that when you open the Word of God, this is as real as it gets. Because these are His commands and they're not burdensome. They are freeing because they free you to know absolutely the one who loves you absolutely. Because you know what? When it says that if we're to know Him absolutely, do you think Jesus knows you absolutely? Oh, come on, church. Come on. Here we go. Do you think Jesus knows you absolutely? Yes. Amen to that. He knows you absolutely because He saw you. He saw me. How that all works in the supernatural, I can't even begin to explain it. But on the cross, He saw you, He saw me, He saw our sin. And when He took those sins and we received that free gift, we know Him. But friend, He knew you before you knew Him. And He was calling you to come to Him. And far be it from you and me that we would want to live a life as liars. Because it says, if the man or woman who says, I know Him, absolutely, but does not do what He commands, is a liar. And it says, the truth is not in him. Oh, that's gutting. That is gutting. To think that you had the truth, but then you choose to live a life that rejects the truth. That just doesn't make any sense. But it's sometimes the trap we fall into. We're susceptible. But these are good reminders, church, this morning for you and for me. Because it says in verse 5, but if, two big words in Scripture, but if. Again, there's a shift, there's a change coming, and then the word if, there's a condition, but if anyone, look to your neighbor this morning, look at him, look at your neighbor. Some didn't even want to look. I don't know who you're sitting beside, but I hope you like them. Anyone is sitting beside you. We're all anyone's. And that's the beautiful thing. Jesus didn't die on the cross for a certain select amount. He died on the cross for the God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for the sins of the world, church. That's for anyone. Anyone can receive Christ. But if anyone obeys, again, guards spiritually, if anyone obeys His Word, the Word of God, God's love or the love for God is. And I love that. Sometimes, again, I've got these little words sometimes in little boxes and circles and highlighters. Why? Because these words are so powerful. Because they're so definitive. And sometimes you can just read through a passage and you get through it and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I can see that. But like, whoa, 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 you missed something. Go back. What did I miss? But if anyone obeys His words, God's love or the love for God is, that's a very definitive statement. It is truly made complete in Him. Wow. That's not a maybe. Anything else could have been there. It says that if anyone obeys the word of God, the word obeys His word, God's love or the love for God could truly be in them. That changes the verse, doesn't it? Or God's love might be or possibly, but it says is, which is definitive. It's a definite. Is truly made not just that it's in you, but it's made complete in you. And that, my friends, is the love that God has for you. His love is made complete. It's this beautiful, it's like a circle that is finished. It's like it's there. You have what you need to live the best Christian life that you can live. The devil gets in our lives and he messes with our heads and he says, but if you do a little bit more, if you give a little, well, you're not really, really good. You're not talented enough. Your gifts are kind of dodgy. You don't smell good. I don't know, whatever you want to put in there. But the fact of the matter is when I read this verse, it reminds me that His love is made complete in me. I have all that I need in Christ to live the most productive Christian life I can, to be the greatest light that I can be for Him in a dying and dark world. Because it's dark out there, church. It's dark. When I drive by all the rainbow-loving churches, as we've driven around Illinois and Wisconsin, and I see those proud rainbow flags outside these churches, breaks my heart. Because they're picking and choosing what they want to believe. But when I look at this word, I know that I can know for sure that I have come to know Him if I obey His commands. And it's not just some of His commands, it's all His commands. And that we know if anyone obeys His word, God's love or the love for God is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know. This is how we know. Pastor John was on point. He was paying attention. I could hear his sweet little voice. This is how we know absolutely that we are in Him. Yeah, we were in church. You're right, brother. We're in Him. And again, another little word I circled. That His love is truly made complete in me and that we are in Him. Not beside Him. Not in front of Him. Not behind Him. We are literally in Him. Because He welcomed us in. He welcomed us. The relationships we have on this earth are only as they only can get so intimate. They can only get so close. But when we look at our relationship with Christ, it's beyond that physicality. It's that spiritual intimacy that we have in Him. And that's the hope that we have, church. That as we know Him absolutely, that His love is made complete in us. And that, in fact, that we are in Him. And if we're in Him, it says, this is how we know that we're in Him. Again, this, where's the proof? Where's the proof that you're in Him? How do we know that you know? Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Ah, friends. Sometimes we see that as being a tall ask. Look, sure, I can't possibly do that. I can't walk as Jesus did. Do you see what He did? I can't heal people. I can't turn water into wine. I can't do all these. I can't bring people back from the dead. I can't do. Don't get focused on the physical things that He did. Know that you're in Him, and the same Spirit that is in Christ, guess what? Is in you. What? Let that sink in. Same Spirit that's in Christ is in you. You are temples of the Holy Spirit, which means He's working in you. You have access to the Father, to the throne room of heaven, through the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. You can go to the Father, you can petition, you can pray, you can supplicate, you can do all these things and more as you're in Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are able to do exceedingly greater things than He's ever done. That's the words of Jesus. You will do greater things than I've done. What? But that's Jesus. I can't exceed Him. Jesus said you'll do more. Because guess what? You're here on this earth. And you have access to the Holy Spirit. That's in you. Which means everywhere you go, guess who you bring with you? The Holy Spirit. And I've said this, we said this to a couple, and I'm finishing up here. I said this to a couple we were sharing with at our ascending church in Ontario. And he's a police officer, she was an emergency nurse. And they were really feeling kind of like, what impact are we having? You know, as a police officer, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it's mostly bad and ugly. There's not a lot of good you see. And he was just struggling with just being in these situations where I'm seeing cycling families and just this deprivation. And then his wife was an emergency nurse and just all these people coming in and out. And you just feel like you're going from one bedroom to the next. Not bedroom, but just gurney to the next. And you just like, what impact are we even having? And I just slowed them down. And I says, do you know that you have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in you, which means that everywhere you go, people benefit from your presence because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, which means the light of Christ is shining out of you, and you are His representatives no matter where you go. Because if you know Him absolutely and you obey His commands, His love is made complete in you, and you are in Him, and you are the only Jesus that may be in their life at that moment. And I said to your man, I says, as you're coming up in the car, as the lights are on, or you're going into a domestic or whatever, you are praying before you even enter the room. Who else is praying for these people? Well, yes. But in that moment, you are His hands and feet. You are His representative. And I said to your lady who's in the hospital, I says, as you're working on a patient, I said, the whisper prayers of a faithful saint are so powerful because you're praying for this patient as you care for them. You are His light. And it was just, she just a whole change came over her face, didn't it, dear? It was like her whole face was like, what? And it was just like somehow they were caught in this rut to think that they weren't having an impact, when in all reality, you are frontline workers for Jesus. So serve Him faithfully. Shine your light. Be His hands and feet. And church, that goes for all of us. It says, if whoever claims to live in Him, if we know that we are in Him, if we say we know Him absolutely and we're following His commands, then we must walk as Jesus did. And friends, that's something that for you and for me, that we have a great responsibility. Are you walking as He did? Are you walking as Jesus did? How do you know that you're walking as Jesus did? Get in His commands. Get in His word. Go to the men's event. Go to the ladies' events. Get involved in ministry in your church. Don't just be a pew sitter. Get involved. Because the more you give, the more you're going to fall in love with the one that loves you more. Because you're now using and you're beginning to apply what you know. Don't ever think for a second that you're not able. Because then somehow Jesus failed. Because if His love is made complete in you, what's stopping you? Sometimes it's sin. Simply, it's sin. You got sin in your life that you got to deal with. You have a drinking addiction. You have a porn addiction. You have some sort of thing in your life that is inhibiting you from saying, here I am, use me, Lord. Then you need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. Get with your pastor. Get with your elders. Sit with him. Talk with him. Get it all out. And get busy serving the Lord. Because the days are evil, church. And we who know absolutely have a responsibility to love and share Him with others. As we do in God's part of the kingdom in Ireland, and you in this part of His kingdom in Illinois. Serve Him with all you got, because He gave everything for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, for just how simple it is, Lord. And forgive us when we make it more complicated than it needs to be. But Father, we can know that we have come to know You if we obey Your commands. And I pray, Lord, that every person at Elgin EV Free Church would have a desire to know You and would desire to obey You. Be with the pastors and the leadership of this church, Lord. Bless them, encourage them. Father, help them to overcome any situations, Lord, that are inhibiting the ministry going forward. May this be a church that truly desires to know You, to show You, to grow in You, and to give You way to others. Father, I love You so much. Thank You for this time in the Word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.